Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Our whole bodies, the Lord wants as a living sacrifice. And we base our thinking on the burnt offering, all of which went to the Lord. The burnt offering was divided into four portions. The head, the Lord wants our intellect. He wants our will. The fat, he wants our energy. The entrails, and that's what we will look at tonight, he wants the inwards. The entrails, the bowels, the intestines. What do these speak to us of? 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 6. He wants the inwards. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 12. You are not restrained in us. You are restrained in your own bowels. What does that mean? In your own inwards, your own feelings. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. What do bowels mean? The deep-seated emotions and feelings. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sorry, we just read that. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. First John chapter 3, verse 17. Whoso hath this world's goods, sees his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion. The bowels refer to the inner affections. 2 John, please. 2 John. I misled you then, please excuse me. The bowels speak of the affections. 1 Samuel 8 and 1. 18 and 1. 1 Samuel 18 and 1. Our affections. 1 Samuel 18 and 1. It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's the bowels. Deep love, one for another. Question. John chapter 21. very important question. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter answered, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, do you love me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, do you love me? Peter was grieved. Now, it is true that the word that the Lord used for love differs from the word that Simon used, but we won't go into that. The question is, do we love the Lord? I believe we do. But what is the order of love? How much love do we have for the Lord? Luke chapter 14. We are to love the Lord, but how much love do we have for the Lord? Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. What a verse. Does this teach that we ought to hate each other? We read in the book of Ephesians, husband, love your wife. We're taught to love one another. Why then does the Lord say that if you don't love your relatives and loved ones, you can't love him? Does he mean that we should go around hating each other? Doesn't mean that. You know that. It means that our love for our loved ones should be like hate as considered to our love for the Lord. His love, love to him, must have priority. Must have first place. How do we prove, how do we know that we love the Lord? John chapter 14. The proof of love. It's one thing to say I love the Lord. It's another thing to prove it before the Lord. How do we prove that we love the Lord? John 14. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we prove that we love the Lord. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. The proof of love is to keep the word of God. Where do we find the word of God? John chapter 5. The proof of my love to the Lord is keeping his word. Where do I find his word? John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures. But you know, we could talk a long time about that. Search the scriptures. If you want to be thrilled, search the scriptures. It's amazing what you will find. They go to the newsstand and buy these so-called mystery books. They want a thrill. Beloved, I tell you, if you want a real thrill, you search this book. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. I told you about my friend Lloyd, now with the Lord. He worked at R.H. Macy's in New York. And during the lunch hour, he was in the room set apart to keep your clothing and so forth. And there he was reading. And all of a sudden he said, Wow! He didn't know anybody was in the room. This fellow came. Something wrong? He said, no, I'm just reading the Bible. What do you find in the Bible to make you say wow? Well, that means you, if you've never said wow, you haven't read enough. You haven't spent enough time. This book will thrill you. And if you're not careful, you'll hurt yourself. You'll jump so high, you'll fall and injure yourself. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures. In them ye think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. If you want to love the Lord and obey his word, you have to keep with the book. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. I was about to say I like this. Well, I like all the verses. It all depends upon my state. But this is a lovely one. 17 and 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. That's the only way you're going to find out what's in them. If we say we love him, we should obey his word. His word is in the Bible. Search the scriptures. Do you search the scriptures, beloved? You will never learn the scriptures helter-skelter. I've told you the story about the young man. Woke up one morning, opened the Bible, and put his finger down. That's my verse. Judas went and hung himself. He said, no, that won't do. Turned the pages, put down. Go and do likewise. Oh my. That won't do. Turn it on. That which thou doest, do it quickly. That's no way to search the scriptures. You search the scriptures and you take a portion and you stay there before the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. I remember when I was studying pathology, you have to spend a lot of time over the microscope. The man that was teaching me, and he was an excellent pathologist, he said, Garns, you've got to sit and stay put even if you get thorns. That's how you study the Bible. You stay there and stay there. Visited a young family many years ago, and when I visit, I like to see what people read. And I was looking around and said, you all have some nice books here. And you have a Bible. Do you read the Bible? Oh, yes, we read the Bible regularly. Then I said, if you read the Bible regularly, why is there so much dust on it? Dust on the Bible means dearth in the heart. And if we are to know his will and please him and show our love for him, we've got to give attention to this book. Someone once asked, what is the best version of the Bible? Now, I was brought up on the Scofield. When I was 10 years old, my father gave me a Scofield Bible. He read the Scofield. My mother read the Scofield. And so I was just brought up. But what's the best version of the Bible? The Scofield? The Pilgrim Edition, the Ryrie, the Rotherham, Darby. What's the best edition? You know the best edition, the best version of the Bible? A believer who is living the Bible. That's the best version. And each of us can do that. Live the Bible. We go on. our love for the Lord is shown by our interest in His Word. And we've got to give time to the study of the Word. You hear us mention very often Dr. Charles Rose. A young lady met him and said, "Dr. Rose, I would like to know the Bible the way you know it." He said, "How much time do you give to the Bible?" "Oh, 10 or 15 minutes." And Dr. Rose said to her, "You never know your Bible. You've got to give time alone to the Word of God. You will know His will and manifest His love." So much for the entrails, expressing our love. The feet, the walk of the believer. Our conduct, our way of life, be surrendered to Him. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy." Walk worthy of your calling. Many years ago, as I was approaching the office, ascending the stairs, a young lady, grasped me by the arm. "Doctor, come and see my mother. My mother's sick. Come and see my mother." I said, "Well, you have to let me go in and get my bag." I went in, got that bag, and she wouldn't let my arm go. Took me to her mother. You know the Lord is good and great. It wasn't some difficult problem. It was an easy problem. And I was able to make a recommendation. As I was leaving that apartment, they had the TV on. Around 4 o'clock. Little after 4. And passing, I just saw this person speaking. And I said, "I don't know who that is. But whoever she is somebody." The way she spoke and the way she held herself, I said, "She's somebody." You know she was walking worthy? That evening when I listened to the news, the report came over. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Queen of England addressed the Congress of the United States. I didn't know she was the Queen of England, but I knew she was somebody. We are to walk worthy of our calling. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 26. The last sentence in verse 26. The disciples were called. Please note that they were called. They did not call themselves. They were called Christians in Antioch. Isn't that lovely? The crowd around looked at them and could tell by looking at them that they belonged to the Lord. They were walking worthy of their call. Years ago, my wife and I went to a conference in California, Yosemite Valley. I would just say this in passing. If you've never been to the Yosemite Valley and God opens the way, go. It's a beautiful place. I had one associate who said to me, "I don't see how anybody can go to the Yosemite Valley and say there's no God. The finger of God is on everything." We went there to a conference. Bible conference. And the conductor of the conference gave general instructions. And then one of the brothers present raised his hand. How do we identify ourselves? Should we have signatures with our names and Bible conference? How do we identify ourselves? The brother said, if you want to, you can walk around and hold your Bible up. That'll identify you. But I suggest that you behave like a Christian. That'll identify you. Walk worthy of your standing, of your calling. We, my wife and I, knew nobody there. We went to lunch the first day. Ordered a meal and gave thanks. A sister came over and said, I saw you give thanks for your food. Are you with the Bible conference? We said, yes. She said, where are you from? We said, New York City. She said, well, how do you get around in this place? Well, we'll just have to take the excursion bus and so forth in between meetings. She said to me, to us, I live nearby. My car is here. Here is the key. Use it anytime you want to. Live Christ. And people looking at you should be able to tell that you are a Christian. In Detroit, Michigan. Again, my wife and I were there. Brother Ken Hampton and his wife invited us to dinner. We had a waitress there. She was dressed like all the other waitresses, took order, her orders like all the others. And I said to Ken, you know, there's something about this waitress that's different. And she served and she served and she served. And I said, young lady, I'd like to ask you a question, a personal question. She said, yes. I said, what church do you go to? She called the name of the church, and Ken said, that's one of the assemblies. She was walking worthy of her calling, serving in a dining room, but there was something about her that reflected the Lord Jesus Christ. She was walking worthy. And they should be able to tell that we are children of the Lord from our behavior. At school. At home. Oh, by the way, what do our neighbors think of us? What do our neighbors have to say about us? Philippians chapter 2, please. Walking worthy, reflecting the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ without a word being said. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless, harmless, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights. We're supposed to shine. These lights don't make any noise, do they? It isn't a question of getting out there yelling, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a... No, no. Just shine. And they should be able to tell at our workplace, that man's different. Should be able to tell in school, that student is different. Should be able to tell wherever we go, that individual is different. Reflecting the beauty of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 7. If the administration of death written and engraving in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was to be done away. You remember the story about Joseph? As he went up in the presence of the Lord. Verse 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end which was being abolished. Verse 28. We all with open face, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You want to reflect the glory of the Lord? Look at him. And where will you find him? In the book. And the more time we spend with him, the more we will reflect his glory. They should be able to tell by our conduct. Oh, and by our language too. I remember at the hospital, some of the doctors would come to the office and use profanity. Oh, excuse me, you don't talk that way. No, I didn't talk that way. And we should be careful of our language, beloved. They should be able to tell by our language that we are foreigners and strangers, that we don't belong here. What a challenge. They should be able to tell by our conduct. The story is told of a young lady. Her parents were not saved. She had an aunt who was a believer. And her aunt invited her to spend the summer at her home, which she did. She returned at the end of the summer and said to her parents, I would like to go to Sunday school. Parents said, fine, very good. Went to Sunday school, seated in a class of young ladies, and the teacher asked, under whose preaching were you saved? Billy Graham. Under whose preaching were you saved? Somebody else. Under whose preaching were you saved? Came to this young lady, under whose preaching were you saved? She said, I wasn't saved under anybody's preaching. How were you led to the Lord? I was led to the Lord by my aunt's living. Isn't that noble? And that should be true of me and of all of us. I wonder what my neighbor thinks of me. He's very polite. And we talk sometimes. I wonder what he really thinks. I wonder if he believes that I'm a Christian. How about your neighbors? They should be able to tell by the way we behave that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another lady visited, and the lady of the house was very kind to her. When she was leaving, what do you say when you visit and a person's nice to you? Thank you very much for what you did. Isn't that what we say? This lady said, thank you for being who you are. That's different, isn't it? That hostess was reflecting the beauty of the Lord. Question. If you were put on the witness stand, if you were on trial for being a Christian, could you prove that you are a Christian? That's quite a question, isn't it? Can I prove to those around that I'm a Christian? Not by what I say, by my conduct, by my behavior. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, my time is just about up. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers. Be an example of the believers. Our walk should show who we are. I've told this to Brother George, and I'll tell it to you. At our assembly in New York, a visitor came, an unsaved man. And he said to me, you know, the men in your meeting are different from the men in most churches. I said, but how do you mean? He said, when the men from most churches come out of church, they light up a cigarette and start to smoke. Your men don't smoke. They're looking at us. They're watching us. We are the only Bible that some people will read. I wonder what they're reading. We are to reflect the beauty, majesty, and glory of the Lord. Your life tells on you. By the friends you seek, by the way you speak, by the way you use your leisure time. In all these ways, we are witnessing to those around. Not with our mouths, with our conduct, with our behavior. Walking worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm finished. Our minds want to be given to the Lord. Our energy used for Him. Our affections used for Him. And our substance, our lives. We are to walk worthy. You notice that we read in Acts, they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. I wonder what those folks downstairs at the registration desk think of us. I wonder what they call us. Those people? Wouldn't it be nice if they could say those Christians? They should be able to. By our walking in and out, which should so reflect the beauty of the Lord, that they will say they are Christians. 635. I have never heard us sing this. And if we don't know it, we'll just read the words. But we used to sing it in New York. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. We'll try it. It is as if we know it. And how true we are to shine. They should be able to tell from our behavior. One little story. One of the nurses in the hospital worked very close with our particular division. I never asked her any questions. I just said, she's different. She does the work, she's pleasant, she's courteous, she's cooperative, she's efficient, but there's something about her that's different. And one day I saw what was different. Mid-morning, went down to the coffee shop. I don't drink coffee. So I had tea. And she came down, and she had whatever she had. She put the food on the table, and what do you think she did next? Bowed her head and prayed. I said, that's what's different about her. Reflecting the beauty of the Lord. He wants our wisdom. He wants our strength. He wants our devotion. And He wants us to walk worthy of our calling. May God grant it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we give thee thanks for the privilege of coming together and hearing thy precious word. Oh, how we value thy word. May it become more valuable and more meaningful to us day after day. We thank thee for the salvation thou hast granted us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We think again of those who would like to be here and cannot be here. We ask that thou wouldst minister to them their portion. Thou, the God of all comfort, comfort them. Many of our relatives are not saved. We pray for them, that they will stop their wild career and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And may we be living sacrifices to thee. Dismiss us, we pray thee, with thy blessing resting upon us, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.